From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch, your beacon of truth, enabling you to navigate today's complex issues from a biblical worldview. Thanks for joining us as we go beyond the headlines, engaging with national leaders and newsmakers to uncover the truths that matter most to you and your family. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Washington Watch starts now.
When you're telling the world you're going to restrict weapons delivery to the Jewish state, who is fighting a three-front war for their survival, it emboldens Iran, it emboldens Hamas. Sinwar is probably juiced up on the idea there's daylight between the United States and Israel. The hostage deal is harder. This is the worst decision in the history of the U.S. Israel relationship, to deny weapons at a time the Jewish state could be destroyed.
That was South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham on Meet the Press yesterday. Graham's comments come as Israel faces its greatest threat since its founding 76 years ago tomorrow. We're going to talk about the significance of this year's celebration of Israel's founding back in 1948. Well, information that came out late last week revealed that just before the Biden administration announced it was withholding munitions from Israel, it issued a waiver on sanctions prohibiting arms sales to Hamas's ally Qatar and Iran-controlled Lebanon. So this administration is cutting off our most strategic ally, Israel, and arming Israel's enemies. We're going to talk with North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer in just a moment. Listen to this.
I have had many conversations, as you have had, with a lot of young people over the last many months now. And you're right. They don't know very much at all about the history of the Middle East or, frankly, about history in many areas of the world, including in our own country.
Now, I know you're going to do a double take, but that was former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. I don't know that this has ever happened before, but I actually agree with Hillary Clinton. Not only do most of the students in these Ivy League universities not know their history, but many of them teaching these students do not know this nation's history, let alone that of Israel in the Middle East. We're going to talk about the significance of that history with Professor A.J. Nolte at Regent University. And finally,
no president has stood stronger with Israel than Joe Biden. His commitment to Israel is ironclad. Ironclad doesn't mean you never disagree. It means you work through your disagreements, as only true friends can do.
That was White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan earlier today. I was stunned by his baseless assertion. But then I realized the Biden administration is identifying as a supporter of Israel, when in reality, they're not. History will remember the Biden administration as the make-believe administration, where boys can be girls and Hamas enablers can claim to stand with Israel. So what should Bible-believing Christians be doing? How should we respond? Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, joins me later on this edition of Washington Watch. Also, let me invite you to join with thousands of others in praying for and standing with Israel this coming Sunday, May the 19th. To find out more, text Israel to 67742. That's Israel to 67742. You can also visit TonyPerkins.com for more. Well, the Biden administration's decision to withhold munitions from Israel continues to draw a sharp reaction from members of Congress, including House Republicans, who are expected to vote this week on the Israel Security Assistance Support Act, which condemns the Biden administration for this policy. Now, this comes as the nation of Israel observes a somber Memorial Day today on the eve of the 76th anniversary of the establishment of Israel. And given a recent threat by the Biden administration to withhold additional support from Israel if they move into Rafah, what can we expect in the coming days? Joining me now to discuss this is Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota. He serves on four Senate committees, including the Senate Armed Services Committee. Senator Cramer, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to see you today.
Always great to be with you, and I'm with you. Let's pray for Israel every day, but I'll make a special point on Sunday to join you all.
Well, we want to see thousands of churches across this country praying for Israel, given what this administration is doing. And that's where I want to start. I want to get your reaction. to President Biden making this unilateral decision after Congress appropriates funding for Israel to withhold support to this critical ally at a critical time?
So, Tony, it's wrong on so many levels, starting with that one referencing Congress passing this massive bill to support Israel and other allies, which, as you know, was not a simple matter. It took tremendous political will on the part of lots of people. The president himself spent a lot of his own capital getting it across the finish line, urging Republicans and Democrats to support the bill. It took a lot of maneuvering and machinations to get to that point, even to the point where former President Trump weighed in to help create a majority to pass it. After all of that, he then pulls the rug out from under not just the people that he convinced in this country to vote for it, but under our very closest friend and ally, who's been our friend and ally even before there was a United States of America, going all the way back to Genesis, Israel. And then, of course, later we find out he's actually at the same time supporting Israel's enemies. It's peculiar, to say the least.
Senator, I don't know about the Senate, but I do feel pretty confident in the House that had Israel not been a part of this supplemental bill, that it would not have passed.
No question about it. And that's why Mike Johnson did some rather incredible maneuvering in bringing up the Israel part of the bill separately, as well as the Taiwan part and the Ukraine part, and then bundling them together for the benefit of the Senate after that. These are not normal things. These are things that take great courage, take great creativity to get a product at the end that's done, and to great political risk for a lot of people. And I don't include myself among those people. I've never had a hard time casting tough votes and explaining them. But this took a lot of political risk for people, and it's just unfair at our level. But it's even worse on the geopolitical level. Tony, when I don't want to oversimplify geopolitics, particularly in the Middle East. We have friends like Israel, we have enemies like Iran, and we have frenemies, and they're occasional friends. It's complicated for sure, but it shouldn't be complicated when you're looking at Qatar, who's a political and financial supporter of Hamas. You look at Lebanon, of course, run by Hezbollah, Hamas's first cousin and associate with Iran. And you give them the benefit of the doubt, and then you put an arms embargo on our friend Israel. It's so absurd. It's a head scratcher intellectually, but it's dangerous when you think about it from a national security standpoint.
Extremely dangerous. And you're making reference to what we talked about, this sanctions wavering the sanctions against Qatar and Lebanon in terms of arms sales. So we're going to sell arms to, as you pointed out, friends of Hamas, but we're not going to provide these munitions to Israel. As you said, wrong on so many fronts. But let me ask you this question, Senator Kramer. Does this not make the world more volatile, given the fact that we're now sending a message that there's daylight between us and Israel? And Israel, look, I don't know that this administration understands them, but they're going to fight to survive, and they will use whatever means necessary. And I think that makes the world more volatile.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. And it also, it sends a chilling message to our closer Arab friends. Take the UAE as an example, or Jordan, or, you know, frenemies like Saudi Arabia, who I think are largely friends. We send very mixed messages to the region, which, remember, they talk about all of this as a means of stabilizing the region. It does nothing of the sort. It creates chaos because it projects that weakness. It projects confusion about what exactly is the United States policy. And to your point, Benjamin Netanyahu has made it very, very clear. We'll stand alone if we have to. We've done it before. We'll do it again. And by the way, some of the weapon systems that he wants to withhold are the very types of weapon systems, the precision missiles, the kits that make dumb bombs into smart bombs, are the kinds of things that actually save certainly the lives of many people in Israel, but also civilian lives in Gaza. None of it makes sense, like I said, intellectually, strategically, tactically, and sure doesn't make any sense spiritually or geopolitically. I don't understand it other than he's got this very weird anti-Semitic base that is larger than a lot of people once thought, and a bit frightening right here in our own country. And again, the projection of weakness goes right down to the college campus, to the southern border, obviously the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan and Ukraine even. I think Ukraine could be in a much better spot had he been more decisive earlier, 2 years ago, for example, with Ukraine. They're facing the same sort of chaos because of, again, projection of weakness by our president.
You mentioned, Senator Cramer, anti-Semitism. So the Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, they're not the only threats Israel is facing. The Jewish community as a whole facing this, I would almost say, historic rise of anti-Semitism. We've seen it on college campuses played out over the last few weeks. The House of Representatives passed the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. That is now over in the Senate. It was supposed to move last week. It didn't. You're a co-sponsor of that bill. Give us the latest on that, when we might see something come out of the Senate.
Well, of course, this is going to be dependent on Chuck Schumer and his comfort level. Now, you talk about a guy who's been confused about issues relating to Israel. I mean, at one point, he was calling for elections, for crying out loud, in the middle of, they're in the middle of a war. He was calling for an election in their country when not even the people of Israel were calling for an election in their country. So it's going to be up to him. You know, we're trying to piece together a coalition that is largely bipartisan, and there is a bipartisan coalition, but we have to have Democrats step up and be willing to buck that ever-widening base of anti-Semitism in their own party. And fortunately, some have, but there are some Democratic senators that are downright hostile to Israel, Chris Van Hollen being chief among them. So I think it's a little bit more challenging, obviously, in the Senate, where you have to have 60 votes.
Do you see this issue, Senator, being one of those? I wouldn't have, if you had asked me this a year ago, I wouldn't even ask this question, right? Because I just didn't see it. Do you see this as another one of those defining issues between the two major political parties?
Well, it may very well be, but I would say that in some cases, Democrats are irredeemable on a few topics. This is not yet one of them. But this is a moment for them to decide where they want to stand and whether or not they'll stand up to this, again, this what I would call a fringe at one point, but it's a little more than a fringe these days, and say, no, our tent's big, but it's not this big. And they have to take a pro-America, pro-Israel stand, because right now they're anti-Israel as well as anti-America if they continue to be this hostile toward our closest friend in the Middle East, if not in the world.
And I think it's as you've pointed out, it's a very dangerous position to hold, and I think it makes the world much more volatile. Senator Kevin Cramer, always great to see you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Always my pleasure. And just remember, every despot and dictator in the world are watching the United States to determine whether we're ever going to get our act together. And if we don't, they're going to exploit it as they are now.
You're absolutely right. Looking for that opportunity. That's why it's so important that we pray, that we vote, and that we stand for what we know to be true. And we appreciate you doing that on Capitol Hill.
Thanks, Tony.
Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota. By the way, the only state I haven't been to, but I'm going to be there just in a couple of weeks. All right, folks, pray, vote, and stand. Never been more important. Do not go silent. And let me encourage you, join us this coming Sunday. Text Israel to 67742. Pray for and stand with Israel. All right, still to come, Dr. A.J. Nolte from Regent University joins me next, and then Pastor Jack Hibbs will be with us as well.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Monday. All right, I want to invite you to join with me and thousands of others this coming Sunday, May the 19th, in praying for and standing with Israel. And as you're going to hear in the rest of this program, it is vital that we as Bible-believing Christians, when the world is running away from them, our own administration distancing itself from Israel, that we as Bible-believing Christians pray for it. Number one, pray. So like we say around here, pray, vote, stand. We need to pray first, then we take action. And that action is standing with Israel. If you'd like to be a part of that, find out how your church can actually become one of the churches just praying for Israel on this coming Sunday. Text Israel to 67742. That's Israel to 67742. And by the way, if you're in the area of my hometown of Baton Rouge, I invite you to join me at Jefferson Baptist Church, where I'll be preaching on Sunday, on why, according to the Bible, we must pray for and stand with Israel. To find out more about that, you can go to TonyPerkins.com. Well, as we've been talking about, tomorrow marks the 76th anniversary of the establishment of the modern state of Israel, when future Israeli Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion formally declared the independence of Israel as a nation at midnight on May the 14th. 11 minutes later, the United States, under President Harry S. Truman, became the first nation to recognize the modern state of Israel. Well, 76 years later, Israel faces its greatest threat since its rebirth as a nation, facing not only hostile enemies in the Middle East, but a rising tide of worldwide anti-Semitism. The American left continues to push for the U.S. to withdraw support from Israel, achieving some successes, as we've seen even this last week with the Biden administration's decision to withhold weapons from our major ally, which I believe makes the world a more volatile place. Well, as Christians, how should we view the modern state of Israel from a biblical perspective? And what obligations to Israel has God given us? Well, joining me now to discuss this, Dr. A.J. Nolte, chair of the Government Graduate Program and director of the International Development MA program at Regent University, is also now the director of the newly launched Institute for Israel Studies at Regent University and a member of the Virginia Israel Advisory Board. Dr. Nolte, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to have you in the program.
Tony, it's great to be back, and particularly glad to be back as we're getting ready to celebrate such a historic occasion tomorrow.
It really is. Today, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. Today's Memorial Day in Israel, followed right after that by a celebration of their independence. You know, when discussing Israel, we see around the globe, and including here in the United States, a rising tide of anti-Semitism. But layered into the anti-Semitism is the left's applying a Marxist oppressor versus oppressed lens to Israel and Palestine. How do you view the left's response to Israel's battling? I mean, they're literally battling for their existence. What do you make of this?
I think what we so often see with the left, unfortunately, one of the reasons why, Tony, I would say you and I are probably conservative, is that those who refuse to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And unfortunately, the left is not really learning from the history on Israel and on Palestine. And they're not even looking at the history of where their own views come from. One of the things that I'm going to hopefully be looking into with the new Institute for Israel Studies and working on some events on is actually the roots of this left-wing anti-Semitism go back to the Soviet Union, which, because it was concerned about Zionism taking the allegiance of its own Jewish population away from communism, started an anti-Zionist science. That's what they called it, the science of anti-Zionism. This was manufactured in the Soviet Union. It was broadcasted through their networks of fellow travelers globally. It has profoundly influenced the left, partially catalyzed by Israel's success in the Six-Day War of 1967. So there's a Soviet anti-Zionism that's external. The internal problem that I'm seeing with the left and where there's this oppressor-oppressed dynamic, I'm reminded of an incident in 1982 where a senator at the time on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee was talking about the need to, if Israel went into Lebanon, potentially was threatening to cut off aid. And then Prime Minister Menachem Begin is reported to have said, "I am not a Jew with trembling knees. We will defend ourselves." And so, you know, by the way, the name of that senator, Joe Biden. And so important to keep that history in mind also as we're looking at today. And so one of the problems that I think we've seen with the left is that when Israel is seen as weak, then the left wants to support them. But when Israel has the temerity to actually show resilience and stand up and defend itself, that's unacceptable. And I think there's a broader issue there because Israel doesn't fit the narrative of an oppressed people that frees themselves. And we've talked about this before, actually, previously, I think, but it's worth reiterating. Minorities are to be permanent victims. That's their role in the left's religion, for, you know, their theology, right, their eschatology. And Israel and the Israelis didn't play by the rules. They freed themselves. They stood up. They founded their own nations. They didn't wait for the left to swoop in and save them. And I think we see that dynamic kind of playing out with the Biden administration's reaction to Israel. When Israel is seen as weak or in need of help, then the left is like, oh, yes, of course, we'll support you. But the minute the Israelis stand up and say, no, we're going to take care of this ourselves, that's unacceptable.
So Israel refuses to play victim. They want to defend themselves. And in fact, Benjamin Netanyahu has restated that over and over as early as last week, as late as last week in the Day of Remembrance, the Holocaust Remembrance, that never again. They're not going to let this happen again. Speaking of history, we're almost up against a break, but take us back to the 1920s, the mandate for Palestine. The Jewish people were waiting and waiting, and it never happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's important to keep in mind is that promises were made at by Balfour at San Remo. You know, we could argue that the British maybe promised too many different things to too many different people, but those promises were made. You had Jews that moved in legally. It's important, as Chancellor Robertson, Gordon Robertson emphasizes, legally bought the land in good faith, came in to the land, and were attacked repeatedly. We could talk about the Hebron Massacre of, I believe it was 1929. We could talk about any number of incidents that happened in the mandate period. We could and should, and one of the things I'm hoping to talk about with the Institute is, we could talk about the hundreds of thousands of Jewish refugees from the Middle East, natives of the Middle East, dispossessed, taken in by Israel, now fully integrated into the Israeli nation state. So this is a pattern we've seen over and over again.
All right, Dr. Nolte, we're up against a break. We're going to come back, finish this conversation, and how that sets the stage for today. Israel realizes that ultimately it's up to them. They're going to have to defend themselves, and the threat today is greater than ever before. All right, folks, stick with us. We're coming back with more Washington Watch on the other side of the break.
Think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Claussen, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith.
Welcome back to Washington Watch as we continue our conversation about the nation of Israel, which today they're observing Memorial Day, which precedes tomorrow's Independence Day. It's its 76th anniversary. My guest, Dr. A.J. Nolte of the Government Graduate Program and Director of the International Development, the MA program at Regi University, is also the director of the newly launched Institute for Israel Studies at Regent University. Dr. Nolte, thanks for sticking around. So let's take what we were just talking about there. Israel in 1948, you know, waiting for these promises to be fulfilled. They were not. And so they launched, declaring their own nation midnight on the 14th of May. 11 minutes later, the United States did recognize it. I think Truman was sympathetic, felt he played a key role in history to do that. But many were opposed. And it would never would have happened had Israel not pulled the trigger and moved forward. Am I right?
No, I absolutely agree with that. And I think not only would it never have happened, but the Israeli part of Zionism and a core element of Zionism as an ideological movement in Israel. And this is as much true. Zionism is very diverse. But one thing that all Zionists would agree on is that Israel was never something that was to be gifted to the state of Israel was something that's never to be gifted to the Jewish people by other people. It was something that would be brought about through the efforts of the Jewish people and for those who are more of a religious bent within the Zionist movement, also through the efforts of God. And
by the way, you can't deny that given the overwhelming odds that they overcame, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. You look at the fact that you have refugees that were armed with sort of mismatched weapons, fighting against, let's not forget, Arab armies that had both British and German military training, depending on which army you're talking about. It was a serious mismatch. And it leads to one of the most fundamental differences between the false Arab perception of Israel and the reality. because what ended up happening was basically you had a bunch of refugees who just come through, for the European refugees among them, one of the worst experiences in Jewish history, for the Middle Eastern refugees who had come after, through a similar, you know, experience of being ethnically cleansed from their homelands. They had nowhere else to go. Their backs against the wall, and they fought to survive, and they won. And that has consistently been the reality. There's this misapprehension born out of left-wing post-colonialism that if you simply kill enough Israelis, that they'll go somewhere else, but they've got nowhere else to go. This is the only homeland they have. We're not dealing with settlers. Oftentimes we hear Israel described as settler colonialism. You're talking about resettled refugees. There's a vast difference, and there's nowhere for them to go.
And I actually heard that from their own lips when I was there about a month ago, walking into some of the kibbutz that were attacked and overrun on October the 7th. They said, we came here for security and peace. Where do we go now? And, of course, the prime minister and others saying, we have no place else to go. We will fight to defend ourselves. Let me play a clip of Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State, presidential candidate, and shocked at the wisdom that comes from her lips, but it's an acknowledgement. I'm going to play this clip. Play clip number one.
I have had many conversations, as you have had, with a lot of young people over the last many months now. And you're right. They don't know very much at all about the history of the Middle East or, frankly, about history in many areas of the world, including in our own country.
I mean, truer words have not been spoken. But, Dr. Nolte, I would also say that there are many in positions of government, of leadership in our current government, that don't understand the history of what you just explained, that Israel will not wave a white flag. They will fight because they have no other place to go, and it is who they are.
Well, Tony, I never thought I'd say this, but Joe Biden has done the impossible. He's made me miss Hillary Clinton. because she's absolutely right there. There's a willful ignorance, I would say, on the part of a lot of people in government. And then there's just a flat-on ignorance among young voter, you know, younger folks especially. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of this in Gen Z. And I hate to tell you, one of the reasons that we formed the Israel Institute here at Regent is because even among Gen Z Christians and biblically faithful evangelicals, the Israel education piece about the realities of the modern state of Israel is not getting to them. And so that's one of the primary goals of the Israel Institute. But yes, I agree. There's a willful ignorance on the part of, I would say, many of our leaders in government as well.
Dr. Nolte, as we talk about the Institute, is a part of that to connect the scriptural mandate, if you will, for believers to recognize, connect with the modern state of Israel, seeing that through the lens of biblical prophecy?
So we have an outstanding School of Divinity at Regent that does a really good job of educating on the biblical aspects and the realities of the land. A piece that's been missing generally in Christian education is educating the next generation about the realities of the modern state of Israel. Not only that Israel is God's people, but also that Israel is a force for good in the world. And so from the School of Government, we're focusing on that contemporary side, although we do work very closely with, and I'm excited to partner with, our School of Divinity that covers the theological side.
Given what the Biden administration has done in recent weeks with Israel, withholding the weapons from them, munitions, does this not make the world a more volatile place? Because this puts Israel, kind of puts them into a corner where, as we've been discussing, they will defend themselves. And when they do, it could be a much greater attack than what it would have been had the United States stood beside them.
The purpose of the munitions that we are giving to Israel is precision. It allows them to strike more precisely with fewer civilian casualties. They're going to go into Rafah because of what we've talked about. They have nowhere else to go. They have no choice. And so what the effect of this is more civilian casualties and less discrimination, right? Because they won't have the capacity to do that.
And probably upsetting that region of the world in an even greater way. Dr. Nolte, we're out of time. Always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, folks, stick with us. On the other side of the break, we'll be joined by Pastor Jack Hibbs as we look at what our role should be as Christians today, looking at the modern state of Israel. That's coming up next. Don't go away.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
This is Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Good to have you with us on this Monday. All right, I want to encourage you to join us this coming Sunday, May the 19th, for Pray For and Stand With Israel Sunday. To do that, simply text Israel to 67742. That's Israel to 67742. You'll get a link, or you can go straight to prayandstand.com. All the information is there for both individuals and churches. Well, our word for today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them." We read later that Eli was more concerned about offending his sons than God. Therefore, he tolerated the behavior of his sons, which treated the holy things of God with contempt. And here's the tragedy. Eli's indifference brought judgment from God, not only upon his family, but the entire nation. To find out more about our journey through the Bible, text Bible to 67742. That's Bible to 67742. Well, I was in Israel exactly 6 years ago on the 70th anniversary of the modern state of Israel. Now, the day before, as we've been talking about today, it is the day, it's their Memorial Day. In fact, I was up in the Sea of Galilee region when sirens went off for, I think it's 2 minutes, to honor all of those who had given their lives to establish and defend the modern state of Israel. Now, It was a powerful moment. I was on the street, and all of a sudden, cars just pulled off. Every car pulled off. People got out and stood at an attention during the 2 minutes that the sirens blared. Now, I have no doubt that today there was an even greater meaning to their Memorial Day ceremonies. Increasingly, as we've discussed today, Israel appears to be alone in the world, even as the U.S. government under Joe Biden takes actions that undermine one of, if not the most significant ally that America has. So in the midst of all of this, where should Bible-believing Christians be in this current confluence of confusion? Joining me now to discuss this, Pastor Jack Hibbs. He's the senior and founding pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. He's the author of Living in the Days of Deception, How to Discern Truth from Culture's Lies. It's published earlier this year. He's also my battle buddy. Pastor Jack, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you for having me, not only for having me, but on this special time for Israel and, for that matter, for the U.S. and the world. Thank you.
I mean, there's few pastors I know that are more passionate about Israel. You've been there many, many times. You and I discuss this frequently, almost daily. We're sharing information about Israel. Your reaction to the Biden administration withholding aid approved by Congress from Israel, publicly distancing itself from Israel as they're in this fight for their life?
Tony, the first thought that went through my mind was the fact that the Philistines, during the time of Israel being really held captive by the Philistines, and of all things, the Philistines based in Gaza, refused to allow Israel to have iron because they said that if they had iron, they would make implements of war and overthrow us. As the United States, under the Biden administration, makes a decision to withhold the ability for Israel to defend itself, Tony, this causes me to have a little bit of a tinge of fear for this reason. We are actually insulting God by hamstringing his own people, Israel. You don't mess with Israel. And at a time like this, we're seeing this administration make incredibly dangerous decisions. Now, to the commoner, I guess it's not so dangerous. But to those of us who know the Bible, to realize that we are tampering with Israel's ability to defend itself, well, Tony, that is just poking the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob right in the eye. And it's not going to go well if we stay on this track of policy.
You know, I could talk about, or we could talk about, the geopolitical nature of this and why Israel is a stabilizing force in the Middle East. And you know a lot of that. You have conversations on a regular basis with members of the IDF and those in leadership, as I do. But that's not what I want to focus on. I want to focus on what you just talked about, the spiritual significance and connection here. Now, I've made the statement, and even made this to the prime minister when I was there a little over a month ago, that I believe America's future is intertwined with that of Israel. I believe, and I feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, even as you're on my program, but I believe America's future depends in large part on how we respond to the role God has given us to stand with Israel in this moment.
Well, it comes down to this. Is God's Bible true? So, Tony, right now we're living at a time where I believe, like it was during COVID, God may not have sent COVID, but the COVID experience exposed woke churches and those who were pretenders or almost Christians. Phase two, Israel. Now we see churches dividing over the defense and for the existence of Israel. I do believe that God is using Israel to actually expose churches that are really biblically rooted and grounded and from those that are not. So you hit the nail on the head. Do we believe that Genesis is real? Do we believe that the blessing built into Genesis chapter 12, where God says, I will bless those nations who bless Israel, I will curse them who curse Israel, is that really true? Well, it is true, but equally true, Tony, is the fact that in the last days, the book of Zechariah tells us, as does Ezekiel, that in the last days, Israel as a nation will stand alone by itself, that all nations of the world will turn its back on Israel. However, that doesn't get the Christian off the hook. We're not supposed to sit around and say, well, you know, Bible prophecy says this, so let's just do nothing. No, no, no. We are to stand and to provoke the Jew to jealousy by our love for the Savior and his word. Jesus commended the church at Philadelphia in the book of Revelation. You've kept my word and you've not denied my name. And so we want to be like that, but 100% spiritual. We're living at a remarkably spiritually powerful moment that I pray that people would wake up and realize that Israel, of all things, Israel in the 21st century, is a nation that has been brought back from the nations of the earth to be reestablished. Isaiah 66 says that not only would Israel be reestablished in the last days, but it would happen in one day, May 14th, 1948.
So how do you respond to those who say, well, this is the modern state of Israel. It's not the same. This is a political entity.
Oh, my goodness. This is what's beautiful about what you're asking is that, again, the book of Ezekiel tells us that God will draw them back into the land in unbelief. See, a lot of people who don't understand their Bibles, including those in the pulpit, will say, well, because they're not born again believers right now, it's illegitimate. It doesn't really work. They don't know the word. The Bible tells us clearly, Tony, in Ezekiel chapter 37 and 8, that God would bring them back into the land like dry bones. He would cause them to plant vineyards, look behind me, and that they would sow the land and it would blossom again. And that during that time, they would actually come in unbelief. They would not be believing. But the Bible says in Ezekiel 38 that the veil would begin to be lifted when they would see God's intervention in his deliverance of Israel from war. The Jewish people would begin to wake up. Oh, my gosh, the Iron Dome failed, or America failed, or the British failed. But God protected us. Everybody needs to read Ezekiel 38 right now. I'm not saying that that's what's being fulfilled right now. I'm saying look to the future, because we are not only a nation in America that have been set up as a special big brother, as it were, to Israel to protect its birthing and to watch over it. I mean, let's remember, Tony, it was President Truman that stood firm from the Bible and said Israel, it's their right to be a state again. And so this is a remarkable time. But, you know, those who don't believe in Bible prophecy, the word of God, the prophets, Moses, man, are they going to miss out? And that does not need to happen.
Pastor Jack, following along those lines of Israel being reconstituted as a nation once again after nearly 2,000 years, let's continue that line of thinking. When you look at the moment we're in as evangelical believers, when the world is turning away, even our own government distancing yep. itself from Israel, for believers, followers of Jesus Christ, as I mentioned to the Prime Minister, we're people of the book, we're going to stand with you because God says we should. Is that possibly not seeding the ground with the hope of the gospel by showing that we are following God and we're planting seeds even in this hour?
Tony, you know that you're so right in asking that question. You know, I've experienced that among Israel's leaders, is the fact that they are absolutely shocked that you and I know their scriptures and that we love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are truly provoking them to that biblical jealousy. This is a golden moment to do exactly that, to love on Israel, to supply and to help and to protect Israel. Friends, listen, read your Old Testament. The ancient enemies of Israel is exactly the Philistine powers, and remarkably so, those that come out of Gaza. It actually, go do a word search on Gaza and find out what has been Israel's history with Gaza.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's remarkable. And so just know this, that we know from Bible prophecy, eventually the world will turn its back on Israel. But while I'm in the United States, while I'm living and breathing, and before the Lord returns, I'm going to stand, I'm going to vote, I'm going to pray for those who support Israel. Pro-family, pro-life, pro-Israel is the person that gets my vote.
And that doesn't mean we agree with everything that the government of Israel does. But just like we don't agree with everything that our government does by any means, but yet we still pledge allegiance to this country, obviously our first allegiance to the kingdom of God, but we stand with and support this country as well because God, I believe God formed this nation. We don't have as much evidence. We have a lot of it, but not as much as his hand being on Israel. Pastor Jack, as we move into May the 19th, pray for and stand with Israel Sunday, which you're a part of. You've been helping promote that. How should Christians be praying for Israel as a nation and for the Jewish people, given this rise of anti-Semitism in the world?
You might be surprised at my answer to that, Tony. I believe that God, who keeps Israel, neither slumbers nor sleeps, right? We know that from Scripture. Israel's hope is not in the nations. However, you and I, Tony, believing in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, Christ Jesus of Israel, that the greatest way we can pray for the Jewish people is that they would experience the salvation that the Scriptures promised them. Now, of course, we stand in solidarity with Israel, and of course, we push back against the evil of this rise of anti-Semitism. But just know this. At the same time, Israel doesn't need our physical defense. At the end of the day, God will protect them. However, we are commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're going to do that with you, Tony, and churches in this nation on the 19th. But here's what we need to do. We need to do it every day, not just Sunday. Every day, we need to pray for the salvation of the Jewish people, because that's what the Lord would have us to do. Salvation first, he'll take care of the nation.
And we show them that love by praying for them and standing with them. And you're right. God doesn't need us. He doesn't need us for anything. But he extends to us an invitation to be a part of what he is doing. Now, we don't know the timeline of God's plan and the unfolding of it, but we certainly, as he told, as Jesus said, you can see the signs of the seasons. And I believe we may be in that season. And so I want to be on God's plan and be a part of what he's doing in this hour. And I think that's the opportunity that's being extended to us as believers.
No doubt about it. You know, God has built into to us these certain special blessings. One of them is reading the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. And one of them, obviously, is standing with Israel. And I find it fascinating, Tony, that after 2,000 years, we've got an Israel that was occupied by the Roman Empire, becoming a nation again a second time. No nation in the history of mankind has become a nation a second time. And you want to know why that happened? It's because the Bible said it would happen. Every word of God's word is, in fact, true. And it's just awesome. Here we are discussing Israel in the 21st century.
I mean, you look at it, the evidence is right there in Scripture. It's fulfilled.
Yeah.
You have to deny. You have to I mean, you just have to deny reality, not to see it. We're almost out of time, Pastor Jack, but you mentioned Gaza, and I was actually studying that this weekend. When you look at the historic area of Gaza, the Philistines being in that area, you have to wonder the spiritual nature of that land and the principalities and powers that are operating there that were never driven out, and how that continues to be a problem to this very day.
Mm, so true. In fact, Tony, the word Hamas, for example, in Hebrew means violence or wicked violence. Hamas means wicked violence or violence. Gaza, notoriously, has been a place of evil origins against Israel. And in fact, Gaza, Gath, that region is native to people like Goliath and his brothers.
Right.
And here we are again. For someone to fail to recognize the relevance of Scripture and that the Bible knows what's going to happen tomorrow is the reason why we need to get in Scripture and around Scripture and do all that we decide and all that we act because of Scripture, in line with Scripture.
Thus, so true.
This is an amazing time to be alive.
So true. But we've got to be in the Word to discern the times and know what to do. Pastor Jack Hibbs, always great to be with you, my brother.
Love you, Tony.
All right. Love you, too, as well. My battle buddy, Pastor Jack Hibbs. All right. Join us this coming Sunday, May the 19th. Pray for and stand with Israel Sunday. Text Israel to 67742. All right, out of time for today, but folks, thanks for joining us. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.
Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.